Good morning. Today I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, and then verse 4 through 7. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests and the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. In verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters and find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, the kids can go to children's church with Miss Lori. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you that you are here, and there's just so much to be thankful for. So many of your blessings, so many of your wonders, and your presence here among us, chief among them. So as we now open your word together, and trust that your Spirit will speak to us, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, well, we are in the third and final week of our series called Being and Doing. It's hard to live a life without either being or doing something, huh? We are something, no matter how hard we try not to be, and we always do something, even if it's nothing, because guess what? Nothing is something. So there is no life without being or doing. So if we're going to have to be and do, we might as well be intentional about it, right? We might as well do it on purpose. So being has a lot to do with our mission as a church, and our mission is to love God. What's next?
Be the church.
Bless the world. Thank you. Good job. So we've already talked about the first two, about being lovers of God and doing everything out of a deep love of God, about being the church and pursuing God's vision of church and kingdom. And today we're talking about being a blessing to the world and making disciples who serve in concrete ways. That's our doing out of blessing the world. This morning we talked about the Great Commission in Matthew 28 in our discussion class, where Jesus called his 11 remaining disciples. After he rose from the dead, he calls them to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that he had taught them. So, we want to bless the world. Part of that is sharing the good news of Jesus, sharing the story of the good news of Jesus, preaching the gospel. And part of it is also living it out, right? Blessing the world, demonstrating the good news. We don't just tell people that Jesus loves them, we actually show them by loving them ourselves, right? Because nothing worse than empty words where I say, I love you, but I don't behave in that way. Being and doing is important when we talk about blessing the world. So, being a blessing to the world, what does that mean? Blessing can have a whole lot of connotations. Blessing can be like somebody going like this and, you know, sending you off. A blessing can be people laying hands on you and praying for you. A blessing can be, oh man, I found a really close parking space on Black Friday, what a blessing that was. I mean, there's just like this continuum of blessing where like what things that we consider blessing, some of them are like gigantic, like salvation in Christ, right? Family, the fact that we have so, like these amazing gifts. And then, you know, oh, my pizza came with extra pepperoni this time and it was just such a blessing. We could mean a lot of things when we say blessing. And when we say that we want to bless the world, at the core, we're talking about proclaiming and demonstrating the good news of Jesus in the world, okay? That's our starting point. So everything that we do to bless the world is either a proclamation, right? What's a proclamation? Proclaiming, talking, speaking. We're either sharing about all the amazing stuff God has done in my life. We're sharing about how much God loves somebody, how much Jesus wants them to know him and experience his loving, his the fact that he calls you his beloved, right? These are proclamations of the good news. But every other blessing can be a demonstration of the good news of Jesus. And this doesn't like always come with like signed, sealed, and delivered gift from Jesus. Like little things that we do in our lives can be blessings to people, and they are in themselves a demonstration of the good news of Jesus, but people don't even know that all the time, right? I may do things motivated by my love for Jesus and by Jesus' love for somebody else, but they may have no idea that it has anything to do with Jesus, right? The fact that I let somebody have that parking spot at Target on Black Friday, even though I could have easily driven right into it. you know, that could be a very, very small, minuscule blessing to somebody who just needed a break that day because, you know, somebody right before them at the last door took the very last whatever majiggy that they really wanted, the door buster. So it can be like that really small, mundane stuff. But demonstrations of the good news, like when we orient our lives around the fact that Christ has transformed our lives, then everything we do is a demonstration of the good news of Jesus. Everything we do. Every time we choose to go down to the Hill Center on a Wednesday night to go pack, was it 1,400 this time that we packed for Lansing school kids? Over 1,400. Last year it was in the 900s, and we've added like 400 to that this year. Yes, Stephanie? Beautiful.
In the 500s and the 120s and the 300s, backpacks, turkeys, I mean, you name it, everybody was taken care of.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving in this community.
Yeah.
Awesome. I just thought I would put that out there.
Awesome. Yes. And thank you for your contribution to that, everybody here. Absolutely. So we demonstrate the good news in so many ways. It is just, it's a way of life. It is who we are. Being, again, we've talked about how being can sound very passive because, well, I'm just being, right? I'm not like doing anything. But being is about two things. I'm going to say identity and presence. Being is who you are in your identity, right? Who you actually are. And your presence, which matters, right? Does presence matter? We know how much presence matters because we know how much absence can hurt, right? When somebody should be there and they're not, then we notice. Presence can seem like just, oh, it's so, well, yeah, that person's just there. Being there, don't underestimate how important that is. I remember being taught as a kid that the most important thing to do in life is to show up, right? I don't know who said it first. I'm sure a lot of people have said it, and I'm sure somebody wants to take the credit for inventing the phrase, but one of the most important things to do is show up because presence matters. Being matters. So identity and presence. So our identity as a blessing to the world starts with this. We are beloved children of God. Right, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. I can't say it enough. But who you are in your core, at the heart of everything, is you are a beloved child of God. God looked down at Jesus and said, "This is my son whom I love and whom I am well pleased." God looks down on every one of us who have been called to be part of his church, who have been called to follow him, and says, "You are my beloved child." That is available to every single person in the world. Everybody's identity can be this. You are beloved children of God. This is the good news of Jesus. So that's who we are. We talk about being a blessing to the world. If I understand that I am beloved, I am loved by God, the one who created me, the one who holds everything, well, that's the starting point for me being a blessing to the world. So being is about identity, and it is about presence. Jeremiah 29 tells us a little bit about presence and what it means to be a loving, blessing presence in the world. So there's four categories. Oh boy, that blue is really, really... It looked so much better on my computer screen. The top left says building. Building. People are in exile. The people of Israel are in exile. They're in Babylon. You guys heard of Babylon? You've heard the word Babylon? Even if you don't know like where it is or what it was, you know that it's usually like bad, right? Babylon is in charge. And all of God's people of Israel who have been enjoying the promised land are now, they're not in the promised land. They're under the thumb of Babylon. They're in exile. There are people that have been scattered across different countries in this Babylonian empire. They don't have King David or King Saul or King Solomon on the throne to look to. Now they have some pagan ruler of Babylon to look to. And God looks at his people and he tells his prophet Jeremiah to let the people know this. Build houses and settle down. Not like settle down, but like settle down, right? Settle. Like you settle land, like Settlers of Catan or whatever. If you're settling, if you don't play board games, that just... Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. This is a building. And then the second thing is settling. So there's building and there's settling. The third is seeking flourishing. So seek the flourishing of the city to which you've been called. And the last is praying. So there's four categories of presence, of what it is to be a blessing presence. There's building, there's settling, there's seeking flourishing, and there's praying. Okay, those words will come up again as we go. Building is about being rooted. If you go to a new community and you build a house, that requires what? Investment of time, investment of funds, investment in the community. To build is to be rooted. It's to declare an intention, right, that you're going to be here for a while, right? I'm going to take the time to build a house, right? They didn't have like professional contractors and big things in the way that we do now, right? There were people whose expertise it was to build, of course, but it wasn't quite the way it is now 2,000 years ago. But still, this is more than 2,000 years ago. This is the Old Testament, 4,000 years ago. but building a home is much different. Building is a declaration that I am rooted here. If I'm going to build a home, that means I am here. My being, my presence is rooted. building, and not only that, settling down, planting gardens, eating what they produce, marrying and having sons and daughters, giving your daughters in marriage, finding wives for your sons so that they can have sons and daughters, raising your kids and your grandkids, settling down in a place is having a long-term vision for your community, right? I'm buying a house, I'm building a house here, but I'm building it not just for me, but for my kids and for my grandkids, right? None of us ever knows exactly how our kids or our grandkids are going to behave, but this is about having that vision of what this life is going to be, right? Now remember, these are people who are in exile, and they're probably just like tempted to just kind of pout, right? And just be like, this stinks. I'm under this terrible, immoral, backwards leadership. I don't have a place that I can really call home. And God says to them, build. Root yourself here. And not just like grin and bear it, but actually have a long-term vision for what life might be like. We know too well in our country that sometimes, right, depending on the season, it feels like we are living in a Babylon of sorts, right? Depending on who's in charge and whether we agree with what they believe or how they behave in the world, it's easy to just say, oh, this place is going to the dogs. Hell in a handbasket, whatever we want to call it. It's easy to just throw in the towel, but do we have a long-term vision for our community? And also in terms of presence, seeking shalom or seeking the flourishing of the community, what does it mean to be for your community as a presence? To be somebody who is for the community, not somebody who's always bringing it down or complaining about how bad it is. But how can we be for this community? This is what God tells his people in exile to do. Seek the peace and prosperity. Seek the shalom, the flourishing, the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Whatever city you find yourself in, make it better, is what God says. Make it better in whatever way you can. Be for your community. Be a presence that is for the community. And then praying, being a prayerful presence on behalf of your community. What does it mean to be somebody who prays and lifts up the neighborhood, the neighbors, the friends, the people who are around you, to be a person of prayer on behalf of the community you live in? Now, some of you maybe have lived here or somewhere around here, wherever here is for you, wherever you live, your whole life, right? Maybe it's the same house, the same street, the same town, the same city, right? Quite a few of you, right? Lived around here the whole time. So this exile thing may not feel like it relates because, you know, you've just lived in the same place your whole time. You don't feel like you're in exile. This is your home. It's the only home you've ever known. But they were here 70 years, 70 years plus in their cities. That's enough time. If you move there as a little kid, right, your parents are moved to a place and you are rooted there for 70 years, right? You might grow up, you might get married, you might have kids, you might have grandkids in 70 years. You may not live your entire existence in one place, but this is what God has called these people to do. So we don't know. We don't know what the future would bring for any of us. And we have had some people who've found themselves just here for a short time, who have greatly sought the flourishing of our community, who have prayed for us, who have built good things with us, right? There are people who have been in this place. I think of the person who was in charge of the search committee that brought me here 10 years ago, Nate Zecker, Nate and Carly and their family, and what maybe they were only here for a time as exiles. But what did they do while they were here? They were rooted. They had a vision. They were for the community. They were a prayerful presence. I think of Lindsay and Chuen, right, who were here, took us on our first ever mission trip, a 62-year-old church that had never been on a mission trip. 16 of us went down to Guatemala and built a house. Why? We never would have done that if Lindsay and Chuen were not here and part of this community. Think of Grace and Chris, and I think of the work that they did for us while they were here and being part of the worship team and being part of the dream team, helping us think about who we are as a church. It's easy to move to a community and say, well, I'm only going to be there for a couple years so I can just, whatever, just get through it. But you can make an impact in a very short time. And you can make an impact in a very long time. So don't underestimate your impact that you're having by being in the same place for a long time. God affirms it all and calls us to be a certain kind of people. So what does it mean to be a blessing in action, practically? What does building look like? It means homemaking, and I'm not talking about like, well, I mean, it can be sort of like housekeeping, but talking about making a house into a home, right? Building houses is one thing, but building a home is another, right? To really make life into a home, to invest in the community. It says to grow food, to plant gardens, to eat what they produce, to work, right? You have to be invested to some degree, and your work, whatever work you're doing in the community, is meaningful. Whatever job you have or had is meaningful. I hope it is, or I hope you can see that it is meaningful. It allows something to happen. It allows other people to have jobs. It allows whatever. There's so many things. Work. We were created to work in some way. Families. Just the fact of having a family, raising a family in a community can be in itself a blessing. It might be the greatest blessing you experience. Settling. Making a place that I want to raise my kids and grandkids. Making a place that I might want to raise my kids and grandkids. We all may have half-hearted thoughts of like, oh, I hope that they stick around, but are we making a place that is for them? Are we making a place that is for them? If we think about the church, are we making a place, we welcome our children, but are we making a place that is for them, that they'll want to continue to come back to as they get older and older? Seeking the flourishing of our community. Are we investing for our community? Are we investing for our whole community? Or do we see tough things going on right down the road from us? We want to turn the other way and say, oh, things are getting rough around here. I'm going to look the other way. I think as God's people, we're called not to just look the other way, not to figure out a way to run away from it or protect ourselves from it, but actually to engage, to seek the flourishing, to make it a better place. Right? We are in a unique location right in the middle of this neighborhood, and not a lot of churches are right in the middle of neighborhoods anymore. Are we listening to our neighbors? I know I'm not listening as well as I should. I don't talk to people in the neighborhood as much as I should for as much time as I spend right here. But we could all say the same probably for the places we live too, unless you really do get to know your neighbors and spend time with them. How are we for our community and not just rolling our eyes at our community? Because it's going to the dogs or whatever. And are we praying, actively praying for a flourishing place? Because our prayers shape who we are. Our prayers shape who we are. If our prayers are complaints, that shapes a part of who we are. If our prayers are all about ourselves, that shapes who we are. If our prayers are all about others, that shapes who we are. If our prayers are all about things that are happening really far away, that shapes who we are. If my prayers are only about the people in my immediate circle, that shapes who I am. Are we praying for a flourishing place that we live in? Blessing the world. Blessing the world. It is good to lament the hardships our community faces. If we hear about violence, if we hear about unrest, if we hear about domestic problems, if we hear about poverty, if we hear about kids acting up, if we hear about these sort of things happening around us, it is good to lament, cry out to God on behalf of those people who are hurting and who are suffering. It's good to lament the ways that people hurt each other. It is good to lay those things on God. It is good to let it out. But it is not good to throw our hands up in despair because of those things. Say, oh, I can't do anything. We can't do anything. We can't help. It's a bummer that that neighborhood has gone down so bad and nobody can do anything about it. You may believe that, but that's not what God believes. God has called us to be a faithful presence in the world that breathes hope in a real practical way. And there are places not far from here that maybe we've given up on, or maybe the city has given up on, or other people. Maybe there's schools that people have given up on or have been given up on. It is not good for us to throw our hands up in despair. We are the church. We are the people of God. We should be breathing hope and life. And yes, lamenting. It is good to engage and to serve, even in little ways, delivering Thanksgiving baskets to just a few families. Does that make a difference in everybody's life? Does that transform the entire city, us doing that? It transforms at least a few people's lives, right? The people who got to serve, the people who get to receive. Being part of a good thing. It's good to engage and serve. It's not good to run away. It's good to bless the world. Fundamentally, we lose track of blessing the world when we forget that we are a gift. We are a gift. The church is a gift to the world. We may not look at it that way sometimes, but we should. The church is a gift to the world. It's not just a gift like, oh, it's a gift to each one of us because we get to be part of this family. Yes. But we as a family should be a gift to the entire world. We should be a gift to the entire neighborhood. Does that mean we need to rethink how we do ministry? Maybe. It may mean we need to rethink a lot of things. But we are a gift to each other, of course. But just like any family, you don't want to spend every second of your life with your family, do you? Maybe on Thanksgiving you were like, okay, a few hours was enough. That was wonderful, but, you know, everybody can go back to their homes now. And that's normal. Because you know what? Families and churches were designed to go out into the world. Go out into all the places that we live. And bless the world. But if we don't believe we're a blessing, we're not going to do it. But we are a blessing. You carry it with you wherever you go. You carry Christ with you wherever you go. So may we do that. May we not underestimate the power that we've been given through the Holy Spirit. May we not underestimate how much God loves our city and loves the people in it and loves the town and the street over from us. May we not underestimate what God wants to do. He's a God of miracles. Every one of you is a miracle, and there's a lot more to be done. So let's bless the world together. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We've already been blessed so fully, so marvelously. And now, Lord, as you send us into this world, send us as your blessing. Send us as transformed people. Send us to be a presence for you, a presence that honors Christ the King, Lord of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand.